And if you're moving in the things of God, if you're moving forward, if you're involved in the things of God, it is easy for you, for him to just steer you in the other direction, the direction that he wants you. But we need to realize it is important that we get into the game. Getting in the way requires sacrifice, but it requires action.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant made this important point about seeking the Lord's guidance. Stop praying about what God has already commanded, as though he might change his mind just for you. In the concluding part of his message, which we are about to hear, Pastor Grant will continue to draw from the life of Abraham important keys of how to find and receive God's guidance in ways that will bring him glory. Please open your Bibles again to Genesis chapter 24 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message entitled, Keys to God's Guidance. Of course, you can watch the entire video of the message at your pleasure on our church website. Here now is Pastor Grant.
He speaks in us. If you are not close, you may miss that he's talking to you. The challenge that many of us have, we say, you see, you hear about people talking about God spoke to them, and you wonder how, he doesn't boom from heaven. Listen, I want you to, no. He speaks to you in a still small, a small voice. Let's talk about more. And if you're not close to him, you might miss the fact that God is actually giving you guidance. You may miss it. You've got to pursue. You've got to pursue. But second, getting in the way requires action. The servant receives God's guidance only while he was in the way. I don't want you to miss that. He got guidance only while he was in the way. So if you prefer to be a fence, sitting, bench-warming Christian, you may be waiting for a long time to get guidance from God. You know, I meet people sometimes who are not involved in ministry, and they tell me they don't want to get involved because they're trying to determine what is the right ministry. And they're being genuine. But I just want to let you know this morning, you need to get in action. You know, I find that if the car is moving, it's very easy to change the direction. Am I right about that? If the car is moving, and if you're moving in the things of God, if you're moving forward, if you're involved in the things of God, it is easy for you, for him to just steer you in the other direction, the direction that he wants you. But we need to realize it is important that we get into the game. Getting in the way requires sacrifice, but it requires action. But key number three, what have I said so far? I've said number one, keys to guidance. Stop praying about what God has revealed. Number two, make sure you're in the way. But third, pray for God's guidance. And so in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 12, we see the servant, and here he is. Verse 12, O Lord God of my master Abram, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abram. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. I don't want you to miss this. You're not, as you pray for God's guidance, make sure you're praying in God's will. Pray in God's will. Amen. Don't miss what it we see there in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 4. And remember that one of the points we are making right now, pray in God's will. The servant wanted to make sure that the person he selected was the one God had appointed. Do you see that actually is in the verse number 14? It actually says, he says, I want it to be the one that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. He wanted to make sure this was God's choice. And so since he wanted it to be God's choice, he had some incredible stipulations. Now you may miss this because you may not realize how much a camel drinks. You see, what did he say? He said, here's what I'm going to ask you, God. Let her not only offer me some water, but let her agree to water my camels. So I decided to see how much a camel drinks. A camel drinks 30 gallons of water in 10 minutes. Did you know that? 30 gallons in 10 minutes. How many camels were there? Oh, you forgot already. 10 camels. 300 gallons of water. So he put some tough stipulations. Lord, I want to make sure it's the right one. And so please, let her be willing to do this incredible thing. We could preach a message on that one. I better leave that one for another day. Turn with me to James chapter 4, because I want us to make sure we get something here about praying in God's will. James chapter 4. Here's what the apostle James says. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? He says, you lust and you do not have. And then he says, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. He says, you fight and war. So here it is, you're hoping to get stuff. And then he says, you do not have because you don't ask. And then he goes on, he says, you ask, but you don't receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. We're talking here about praying in God's will. And what the Apostle James is saying, he's saying, number one, we don't have because we fail to pray. That's the first thing he says. So make sure you are praying. But then he says, but when you pray the wrong prayer. Your prayer is all about you and your little family and what do you want. God, give us that big mansion. God, please, we need, if it's not a Rolls Royce, at least let it be a Lexus. God. So part of the key to getting God's guidance is prayer, but it's prayer in God's will. God, I want your will. Like the servant, God, I want to make sure that the choice I make is the person that you have appointed. Is that the way you pray? God, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to make any decision if it's not your choice. Wow. Well, that would revolutionize our prayer life. You see, sometimes we add the little tagline on, in Jesus' name. But in Jesus' name is good. But what it ought to mean, it ought to mean that there is a real desire in your heart that whatever happens is God's will. You don't want anything except what God wants. Pray in God's will, but pray expectantly. Expect God to guide you. I can hardly imagine the servant's excitement as he waited. He prays this prayer and he's excited. And we're going to see something in a minute. He expects God to guide him. And sometimes we pray and we don't expect God to guide us. You know, this lady prayed at some mountain, something that was blocking her view would be removed. It was a selfish prayer. But the next morning she woke up and said, oh, I knew it wasn't happening anyhow. Pray expectantly. I told you before about my first experience driving a Tesla a couple of years ago before there were other self-driving cars on the road. At that time, the Tesla was the only self-driving car. What a unique experience it was. I mean, number one, it was I had no idea that an electric car could move off at such an incredible speed that it would pin you to the back of the seat. It actually, you might not know this, but a Tesla is one of the fastest accelerating cars in the world. You may not know that, although it's an electric car. But so here I was given the Tesla to drive, and the gentleman said to me, he said, Brian, one of my clients, he said, just relax. It will drive itself. He says, I've already told it where to go. And he said, you can just relax because it's going to pick out the best route to get there. It's going to check on the traffic, et cetera, et cetera. And it will just get us there. You can just use it in the driver's seat, but you just don't need, just sit, Brian, just sit back. Of course, you know, your pastor, I'm hovering over. I'm not holding the steering wheel, but I'm. For crying out loud, if a Tesla can get you there, if a Tesla can guide you, can the Almighty God guide you? He knows all the twists and the turns. He knows what's happening down the road. He is the only one who knows tomorrow. He is the only one who knows what's going to happen next year. And I am thankful that my life is in His hands and He can guide me.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
What we need to do is not follow your pastor in the Tesla. Don't hold your hand over the steering and say, God, just in case you want to take me somewhere I don't want to go, I want to be in control. Let go. Well, am I right about it? God, I want to go your way, God, whichever, wherever you want to take me. Have you gotten there yet? God, wherever you want to take me there, God. I want you to guide me. I'm expecting you to guide me. He's going to take you to the best place because He's got a plan. Key number 4, wait for God's direction. And so here we have verse number 15. Wow. Something is happening at the well. This servant has prayed. He's expecting God to do something. He's sitting at the well waiting. And almost immediately, you know, I think it was one of these recent messages I prayed that God takes a long time to answer. But I want you to know this God, He can answer instantly if it's His will. So He can take a long time. If that's His will, is that all right with you if He takes a while? That was a weak answer. But you need to realize how quickly He can answer in accordance with His will. And so here He is, and it happened. Verse 15, are you with me? If you're there, say amen. Before He had even finished speaking. Oh, come on now. Are you talking about an on-time God? Before He had finished speaking, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, hallelujah. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. And so she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had finished giving him to drink, she said, would you like me to give the camels as well? Rebecca, it's 10 camels with your little pitcher. Oh, he was so excited. Yes, yes. Can you imagine him? Yes, yes, yes. this seems to be the one. But he didn't rush ahead. He waited for confirmation that this was God's choice, because he knew, listen, put this down. He knew God's guidance is consistent with his standards. God's guidance is consistent with his standards. Oh, I hope you don't miss this. Abraham had sent him back, and he was to marry somebody from Abraham's family. You see, we're not to be marrying people from any family. It's only people from the family of God. Amen? It had to be somebody from Abraham's family. And it looked like things were working out. But the servant had to make sure that all the standards were met. And so, look at verse number 23. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing a half a shekel and two bracelets. By the way, this is at least $10,000 worth of just the bracelets alone. He put them on her and he said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me." So she said to him with verse 24, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." And when he heard that, he said, "Hallelujah." Because she was the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. She was the granddaughter of Abraham's brother, Nahor. It was Abraham's family. All the qualifications, all the standards were met. God had lined the thing up. I wonder if you, do you realize which the God you're talking about? Sometimes I believe we fail to realize that our God is a God of precision. Our God is a God who likes to manifest his power. Point number two, as we wrap this thing up, and I'm still on key four, as we're in the way, God will lead us. Get in the way. Some of you this morning, you are Christians, but you are not in the way. You need to get in the way. Make sure you are pursuing God's will. Make sure you are really serious about the things of God. Get in the way. But third, act on his direction, not on your understanding. Act on his direction, not on your understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. His answer may not match your thoughts. I said to the young people at our home on Friday night, I said, you know, for some of you, I believe God actually wants some of you to go into full-time ministry. But you're fighting God. There are people here, I believe, who God has spoken to, and God wants you to do something different from your doing. Some of you, he may very well want to go into full-time ministry, but you are fighting God. Trust the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. So you say, Brother Brian, how do we know God is leading us? In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it tells us that God's Spirit testifies with our spirit. You see, the Spirit of God actually talks to our spirit. One of the things he tells us is that we are Christians. And if you don't have that assurance, if the Spirit of God isn't testifying to your spirit that you are a Christian, you need to check your salvation. But one of the things he testifies is about our salvation. But one of the things the Spirit of God does as he seeks to guide us, he speaks to our spirit. And we have this conviction, this assurance in our soul that this is what God wants me to do. Oh, I could tell you stories. Let me tell you one or two. And then I'm going to wrap it up. I had finished high school and had just been accepted to go to college. And I was on the science track. I was accepted to do sciences. And I, the big only decision I had to make, as far as I was concerned, was whether to do math study to be an actuary or to be an engineer. But that holiday, God had a different plan. And while during that summer, some of these university students challenged my faith, told me about Frantz Fanon, religion is the crutch of the alienated man. They told me all of this stuff that I'd never studied, to question and to challenge and to denigrate the things of God. And I just felt I did not have an answer. And amazingly, God spoke to me in my heart. Everybody, my principal in my high school, thought I was so dumb to change, but I changed because God had spoken to me that I should go and study social sciences and study politics. And, well, my teacher was the president of the Jamaica Communist Party. I studied plantation economics with another communist. And I certainly learned all of this stuff. I'm saying some of this to say to some of you. We went along, I graduated from college, I get an unbelievable job, which I won't go into. We were getting married, and my wife-to-be asked me the question that was so strange. She said to me, where are we going to live when we get married? Are we going to live in America or Jamaica? And I thought to myself, isn't it obvious that we're living in Jamaica? I was doing unbelievably well. Why would I go to America? At that time, Jamaica had no problems. We had low unemployment, low crime. Everything was the place to be. Why would I leave? But do you know, God told me in the quietness of my heart that we should come here to help this church. I came at a huge pay cut. You ever hear Jamaicans come here to get less money? My brothers and sisters, God will never lead you wrong. There's some of you leaning on your own understanding. You're saying to yourself, the only way is the way that I can figure out, the way that I'm going to get the most money, the most opportunity. Why not today? Say, God, I am willing to do it your way. God, it might not make sense, but God, I'm going to play by your rules. I am going to get inbounds. God, I'm going to seek you. God, I'm going to pray according to your will. God, I'm going to wait. Because God, I'm convinced you did not save me for nothing. You saved me for a purpose. And God, I don't want to die and not achieve the purpose for which you have sent me here. And God is talking to some of you this morning. Some of you younger people who are stubborn because you're determined that the way you're going is the right way. And God is saying, give me everything. Oh, I've saved you, but I have a better plan. I want to guide you. Key 5. And I'm done. Praise God for his guidance. Genesis 24, 27. The guy praised God. Let's not be like the 10 lepers. Jesus saved 10 lepers in Luke 17. 9 never even turned back. Let's not take God for granted. God wants to guide us. But the first step is always at the cross. And some of you have never stopped at the cross. And if you're here this morning and you've never stopped at the cross, you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you, you need to stop at the cross this morning and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, cleanse me from my sin, and save me. That's where it begins. But for those of us who know Jesus, oh, I'm so glad there's still room at the cross for you as well. And this morning you can come and say, God, I'm saved, but I want to get more serious. I want you to guide me, whatever it takes.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world,
He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.